Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. It's lovely to have you here on a very cold and frosty morning. So I hope it didn't take too long for you to defrost the car to make your way here this morning. Our focus in the service this morning will be on the second section of the proximity booklet, which is all about God's good creation. So let's come before God in our prayers. Let us pray. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. By your word, O Lord, all things were created, each in its allotted space and time. The whole of creation declares your glory, O Lord. A symphony of sound and colour surround us, if we will stand for a moment with eyes and ears attuned. In this service this morning, we declare your glory, O Lord, and we marvel at your creation, which reveals your goodness to us, reveals your love which extends to the ends of the earth, reveals your righteousness which is like the mighty mountains, reveals your mercy which reaches down as far as the very depths of the deepest ocean. Forgive us, Lord, when we treat your world badly, dropping litter or wasting good things. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't look after our homes or our possessions with care and respect. And forgive us, Lord, when we act selfishly and forget that you made us to love you by caring for your world and for one another. We thank you for the forgiveness we find in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, which is hymn 179, Let Us Sing to the God of Salvation. And I'd like to welcome Roberta Bailey to our piano and organ stool this morning. It's lovely to have you back with us and for making the way up through Frosty Fermanagh to be here. So hymn 179, Let Us Sing to the God of Salvation.
Let us sing to the Lord our God. Let us come to his house.
like to invite the children to come to the front, where I have a few things I'd like to chat to you about this morning. There's space up here, Leah, beside you, Amy. Or the girls might make space between you there and let Leah sit with you. There we go. Okay, guys, let me see you. Lovely faces. Let's see nice smiley faces. Not so smiley this morning. You all tell a bit sleepy, wishing you were in your beds, a bit like me, on a cold and frosty morning. But we're all here, and isn't it wonderful to be alive and part of this wonderful world we live in? And this morning, we are going to think about God's good creation. And I know that in Sunday school at Jigsaw, you will have learnt all about God's good creation. And you might even be able to help me with the children's talk to remind mums and dads and grannies and grandas and friends out there who might just quite not remember the order of the things that God made creation from. So I'm going to ask you a few questions to see if you can come up with the answer, and then we're going to have a little picture on the screen. So the first question is, what did God make the world from? What was there before the world? No, he made the land, didn't he, later on? So, no.
Black ball.
Sort of like nothing, isn't it, James? Is that what you mean, just nothingness? He made it out of nothingness. So God existed before the world. And we're going to see the next slide here, which will see the nothingness, sort of like that black ball that you were talking about, just the nothingness that existed in the universe. And it says in the Bible that God's spirit hovered over the nothingness. Can you see? Can you see an animal in that picture? Or maybe not an animal, a bird. What type of a bird? A dove, that's right. And the dove in that picture represents the spirit of God that hovered over the emptiness and the nothingness that was in the world. And then something happened. Did God make something? What did God do? Did he? He spoke. And he looked at it all, and he looked at the darkness, and he said, "Let there be light." And we're going to see the next. And so we saw light and darkness appearing. There was light in the midst of the darkness. God's light was shining and creating the world. And that was day one of creation, when light and darkness were formed. Anybody know what God made next? Not the animals, because we've only got light and dark at the minute. Not the land. Something else.
The sea.
The sea and the, what's above the sea?
Sky,
yes. Number two was the sea and the sky. So God separated the nothingness and created the sky and the waters. So that was day two. Day three, what did he make? Someone's already said it. Yep. The world, yes. The land, that's right. The land then came into being. So from the waters, God created the land. Let there be land. And on that land, what do you see in the picture? Flowers and trees and plants and grass.
And apples.
And trees. Yes, all seed-bearing plants were made on that day. So the trees and the apples were made. So we have light and darkness. We have sky and water. We have land and ocean. So it's a bit like if you were doing a big painting, that sort of like the background had been covered. And now we're going to put in the detail on all the different places. So what detail do you think God might have put into the sky? What might he have said? What might he have created in the sky?
The sun.
What else might be in the sky? What else do you see in the sky? The clouds.
What else?
The stars and the moon, that's right. So the sky was filled with light. The sun and the moon and all the stars. So that was what was created on the fourth day. Now the fifth day, remember on the sixth day, the sky and the sea were created. So if God was going to populate the sky and the sea and make things for it, what things would he make? What lives in the sky and in the oceans?
Animals?
Not quite animals.
People?
Not people. In the sky, what do you see when you look up into the sky? What sort of creatures? Birds. And then if you're in the ocean and in the river, what, love? Ooh. And what in the ocean? What do you see in the ocean? Fish and dolphins. And so there we have the sky populated with all these lovely birds and the sea populated with all these wonderful fish and serpents and a whole variety of things. So then on the third day, God had created the land, you remember, with the trees and the flowers and the apples? So what else might he have put onto the land? Animals. And this is the sixth day. Adam and Eve, human beings, men and women. So on the sixth day, then, we're going to see the animals there, the dinosaurs, the elephants, the lions. Is that a tortoise and a giraffe? Anybody see the snake in the tree? And then there's a little man and a little woman. So isn't that wonderful that God created this wonderful world that we live in? And what did God say when he looked at the world? Did he say, Josh, did God say, that's really awful? I don't like that. What did God say when he saw all that he had created? That's wonderful. It's very, very good. And he asked men and women to look after the world that God had created. Sometimes we can forget when we're living our everyday lives that God made this world and he made you and I, and that he wants us to be in a relationship with him and to thank him for the wonder of his brilliant creation and for his creation of us as men and women, boys and girls, and putting us into families who love us and care for us and letting us live in such a wonderful world that we can have a frosty morning or we can have a sunny day on the beach and all of it beautiful and glorious and giving thanks to God. So we're going to sing your next hymn, which I think you're going to know. Who put the colours in the rainbow? It's hymn number 36. And after this, you'll go out to Jigsaw and Blast and Tots.
That was an easy one.
That was an easy one. That's good. just like to draw your attention to one of the notices that you'll find in the announcement sheet this week. And that relates to a service that's taking place this afternoon. It's the week of prayer for Christian unity this week. And this Sunday afternoon, St. Patrick's and Drumquin are holding Christian unity service at 3:30 this afternoon. Normally we would have the service at 7, but we're going out to Drumquin this year to Father Kevin Mullen, and so the service is going to be in the afternoon at 3:30. So a warm welcome extends to everyone to come and join with us as we celebrate together with one another and as we pray for the Christian Church throughout the world. The service is focused on the people of Malta, and the congregation, the churches on that island have prepared the service that we will be participating in this afternoon. So please do come along to that service. As you will all know, Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta in the book of Acts. And so the church, the Christian church that was established there, goes right the way back to the very first century of Christianity. And so we rejoice with our brothers and sisters in Malta, as well as our brothers and sisters here in Omagh. The rest of the notices you can read at your leisure. And thanks again to Roberta. We come now before our God in our prayers for others. Let us pray. Creator God, you have generously blessed us with an abundance of gifts in this your world. Help us to share in that generosity by living in a way that ensures that your gifts will continue to be available for future generations. We rejoice that as human beings, we have been created in your image and in your likeness. But we also recognize that humanity alone cannot adequately reflect your glory. The whole diversity of the earth is needed to give us a glimpse of your wonder and your greatness. Help us, we pray, to live in sustainable ways so that this marvelous diversity can be respected and endure. We live in a world where some of us throw out food whilst others go to bed hungry. We live in a world where some have modern amenities at their disposal, and others struggle to find water to drink. We live in a world where employment comes easily, and where those others struggle to make ends meet. May we learn to share with one another and to share in the generosity of your goodness to all in this world. Create within us, O Lord, a new heart and a new vision. Grant us, we pray, the gifts of your Holy Spirit, that we can work in our world to renew the face of the earth, to show forth your glory, and to draw people into your love. Remember this morning all whom we know and love who are going through difficult and challenging times today. We ask that your Holy Spirit would draw close to them, that he would comfort and heal them from their sorrows and from their sickness. And we pray that they may know the peace and the mercy of Jesus Christ and the love and compassion of God. All these prayers we offer in the name of our Saviour Jesus, who taught his followers to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Our next hymn is one of the early ones in the hymn book. It's hymn number 5, Morning has broken, again a hymn to help us reflect upon the beauty of God's wonderful creation. You will not be surprised that our scripture reading this morning is from that first chapter of Genesis and will be read for us by Chloe Hagen. It's Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 to 31.
Then God commanded, "Let the earth produce all kinds of animal life, domestic and wild, large and small." And it was done. So God made them all, and he was pleased with what he saw. Then God said, "And now we will make human beings. They will be like us and resemble us. They will have power over the fish, the birds, and all animals, domestic and wild, large and small." So God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them male and female, blessed them, and said, "Have many children, so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. I am putting you in charge of the fish, the birds, and all the wild animals. I have provided all kinds of grain and all kinds of fruit for you to eat. But for all the wild animals and for all the birds, I have provided grass and leafy plants for food." And it was done. God looked at everything he had made, and he was very pleased. Evening passed and morning came. That was the sixth day. Amen.
Amen, and thank you, Chloe, for that reading from God's word to us this morning. So, today we're looking at proximity and how God made this wonderful world that we live in. But the focus often when we think about creation is on the wonder and the beauty of creation, and we're going to do that this morning. But we also need to remember that the centerpiece of this story is the God who created the wonderful world we live in. It was in his mind and it was in his purpose and in his planning that it was created. And so we rejoice in our wonderful God who created a wonderful world for us to live in. And he created us in his image. And as part of God's image, we've been given the gift of creativity and of designing and of planning and of making things. So I don't know if any of you in the congregation would say that you've been given that gift to create and to craft and to make and to do, whether that be a few things that I've brought with me. And I know some of the ladies from Killycur have headed out now to take Sunday school. But I know they've been learning to do this, which is crocheting. So whenever I first came to Oma, I set myself a challenge to crochet. And then a few years ago, I set myself a challenge to play the piano, Roberta. But I'm afraid it hasn't turned out as well as the crocheting. Shall we say it's maybe not the talent that God gave to me. But I really enjoy the crocheting. So that's anybody here in the congregation enjoy crochet? A few hands, mainly female, all female. Up. That's great. And then another thing that I've done for a long, long time is actually cross stitch. And I brought this cross stitch with me from home in Belfast. And it's a cross stitch that I designed for myself, obviously with the help of a pattern booklet. But this cross stitch, the centrepiece here is my home in Henderson Avenue in Belfast, which is the home that I grew up in. And then around the sampler are the names of the members of my immediate family with some things that reminded me of them. So my mum started her life as a typist in the civil service, and then she typed for my dad, so there's a little typewriter here. She was also a very skilled craftswoman and did a lot of knitting, so there's a little sample of knitting. And she loved a cup of tea, so we had many a chat when I came home from school over a cup of tea. And then on the other side, my dad, there's a little van that says Nelson Plumbing on it because he had his own business and he was a plumber. There's a little glass of something a little bit stronger than a cup of tea that Dad used to enjoy from time to time with some of his pals. And then there's a saxophone. Now, Dad, like me, really wasn't given the gift of music, but he appreciated music. And so he followed the Martello Jazz Band. So there's a saxophone there representing Dad. Then underneath Dad's my good self. You will be pleased to know there's a little Bible there representing my love of God and the scriptures. A little cross stitch to sort of give an indication that I might, in future generations, if this still gets passed down, people might think, I wonder, was she the one who made that because she's got the cross stitch in it? And then a computer, because I worked at that time in civil service and spent most of my day on the computer. Then this side's my brother Ian. He loved golf. So there's a golf bag, and I'm not quite sure how talented he was or is with golf. The Progressive Building Society logo, for any of you that are familiar with that, as he's a manager in the Lisburn branch. And then a hi-fi system, which the children today wouldn't be able to recognise because there's no such thing as a hi-fi system. But Ian also, like Dad, loves to listen to music, though he was more into heavy rock than jazz, so they didn't quite agree what should go on the hi-fi system from time to time. Then underneath is Martin, who's my middle brother, and there's a tap there representing the fact that he also went into the family business as a plumber. He loves Formula One racing, so there's a racing car there, and then he also got a medal for shooting for Northern Ireland in the air pistol sport, I suppose it is, so that was his enjoyment. And then my youngest brother, Colin, whom some of you know very well, Bertie, some maybe less. We have here a little stationery set because Colin works for Spicer's Stationery Wholesalers. There's a pint of Guinness because he likes the odd glass or two. And then on the right-hand side, there's the emblem for CIYMS because I suppose one of the things that Colin's most associated with is his love of rugby and his club, the Church of Ireland Young Men's Society in East Belfast. So that represents my family, and I created and designed that myself, and it's lovely to be able to do something and to have that appreciated by the family, and a skill that we've been given. Now, some of you may not be indeed crocheters or cross stitchers. You may be gardeners. Anyone here a gardener? I'm not going to ask you any other questions other than putting your hand up if you're a gardener. Although, if I know who the gardeners are, I might come and ask you a personal question about how do I get something to grow in the garden, because I'm not a gardener. But some of you are gardeners. Other people might be into Lego or building things. constructing things. Some of you might like to make things with your hands. I know there's someone's dad's a wood turner. David's dad had turned some pieces of wood, and they were brought out to Mbangani in Malawi as collection plates. So there are many skills and gifts and abilities that we have to make things. But have you ever thought that the reason that you have those skills and gifts and talents is because you're made in the image of God, who is a creator and who has made us, shaped and fashioned us into his likeness? Whether that be building cathedrals or working on computers, whether that be knitting someone a jumper or using your musical talent to sing and play and entertain, we've all got different gifts and talents and abilities that are God-given, and we rejoice in those gifts. And it's lovely, isn't it, to receive a homemade gift or to be on the receiving end of someone else's talent. There's beauty and enjoyment in the gift itself. We can marvel at it. If I give this to someone, they would be looking at the detail of the stitches and they would marvel at that, at the colour and the beauty and the style and the variety of it. There are people here who are really good bakers and can create wonderful cakes and ice them in spectacular ways. There are people here who can build things out of nothing. So when you're handed a handmade gift, it means so much more and you appreciate the beauty of that gift. But you're also aware when it's handmade of the giver of that gift, that they invested their time and their talent and their love and their enthusiasm into that gift to give it to you. But sometimes we forget to appreciate those gifts that we've been given and the hands that have worked to give it to us. On Facebook at the minute, there's a little thing going round about the farmer and to give thanks for the farmer, because it's the farmer who puts the food on your plate. Yes, we may be invited round for a lovely meal and we might thank the person who cooked it, but they could only have cooked that meal if they were able to buy the ingredients in the shop, if the shop was able to source those ingredients from a possibly an in-betweener, but eventually back to the farmer. And the farmer could only have produced that goodness through toil and hard labour, and also the gift of God and the wonder of this world that he has given to us. And so we can trace all things back to God and to his goodness and his creation in this world. But I wonder, do we often take time to stop and notice the beauty and the diversity of the world that's around us? Last couple of days, I have been stunned by the sunsets and the sunrises that I have been able to view through the study window, and marvelled at the photographs that people have sent me either through WhatsApp or that I have seen on Facebook of those spectacular sunsets and sunrises, showing the beauty and the colour and the delicacy of either a new day dawning or a day coming to an end. But the sun rises and the sun sets 365 days in the year. We may only take notice of those spectacular days. This week, I want to encourage you to take time to appreciate the beauty and the diversity and the goodness of the world we live in. Yes, we live in a world of struggle and of sorrow and of ugliness. But that's not how God designed the world to be. In the beginning, he said it was good. In fact, he said it was very good. And it's the same world we're living in. We're the same people that God has created. And so we can still catch glimpses of the goodness of God in the wonder of his creation. I enjoy watching David Attenborough's Blue Planet. It gives us a glimpse of the goodness of creation, the amazingly beautiful, diverse creatures of the sea, that without the technology of human beings, we wouldn't be able to see it. I particularly enjoy the little bit at the end of his programmes now where he shows us what work the cameramen and women had to do in order to get those images for us on the screens. But that didn't come from nothing. It came from God's good creation, with that spirit hovering over nothingness in order to bring our world into existence. Some of us have been fortunate enough to travel across this world to experience the wonders of Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon, the African plains, the Amazon jungle, the coral reefs, the Indian Ocean, the Norwegian fjords. Some of us may not have had that opportunity, but we've seen the spectacular scenery in our own land, the wild Atlantic Way, the Giant's Causeway, the Mountains of Mourne, the Fermanagh Lakelands. Some of you will have had opportunities to swim with the dolphins, to see the Big Five in their natural habitats in Africa, to listen to the racket of the cicadas on your Mediterranean balcony on a balmy evening. Others of you will know the thrill of a newborn lamb coming into the world, or the joy of claiming first prize at the OMA show for your pedigree bull. Or you may know the faithfulness and the loyalty of man's best friend. Or you might dance attendance on the cat who always gets the cream. So much variety and diversity in the world and in the animals that surround us. So let's take time in this week to appreciate the beauty of the sunset, the laughter of the child, and the frolicking of your dog in the rain. It's a wonderful world that we've been given. But with that wonder comes responsibility. The Lord God finished the pinnacle of creation by creating humanity, by creating men and women in his image. And he didn't just do it for his pure pleasure, because that is one of the reasons that he did create the world, to bring himself pleasure. But he created us in order that we would partner with him in caring for creation. He set us to rule over the world, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and the animals and all creatures. We have a God-given responsibility to care for this wonderful world that God has given to us. Yes, we're part of creation, but we're made in the image of God. We are able to do so much more than any other part of God's wonderful creation, and we have a responsibility. First of all, we have a responsibility to care for the world that we're in. God has made it and he has asked us to look after it, and that is challenging for us in this world today. And it's certainly something that is on our news topics with climate change and the impact of our greed in the West on people living in other parts of the world, and our responsibility to live in ways which are sustainable. We have a responsibility to those in our own land who create and work the land, to support them and their industry as well as convenience for ourselves. So there are choices that we can make in this world to show that we value the world that God has created and that we are caring for that world that he has given to us. But I want to spend a little bit of time now talking about our responsibility to one another. In our world today, there are many people, maybe even people sitting here this morning, who do not have a high opinion of themselves, or who feel that they are unworthy or unlovable. They need to hear the good news of the creation story, that all men and all women have been made in the image of God, and that when God looks upon us, he sees that it is very good. Elsewhere in Scripture, God reveals the value that he places on humanity. I love you with an everlasting love, he tells us. I have called you and you are mine, he says. I knew you before you were even born. I knit you together, that female term of knitting. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I have loved you so much that I have given my only begotten son, that you might have eternal life. If you feel unloved or unvalued today, then you are mistaken. You are very much loved and valued by the God of all creation, who gave his very life, that you might have life in all its fullness. And God loves every human being who was created. There's a children's chorus that I used to sing. I'm not sure if it would be considered very PC these days. If you're black or if you're white, if you're fat or thin, God loves you. If you're big or if you're small, or if you're bad or good, God loves you. No matter what you look like, no matter what you've done, God loves you. There is currently in our country today an epidemic of suicide amongst young people. Many of it caused by poor body image, bullying on social media sites, a sense of feeling undervalued and unworthy. And it is so sad and so wrong that those young lives end much, much too soon. And we, as people who know that they're made in God's image, just as we are, have a responsibility to share that good news with them, to tell people that they are loved and valued by God, and to demonstrate that in the way that we show love and value to every single human being that we come in contact with. Everyone is made in God's image, and Christians should value and respect all people, even if there are differences between us, whether that's politics or religion, whether it's race or nationality, education, sexuality, wealth or poverty. Every single human being is made in the image of God and is valued and loved by him. And we are called to love and value them. And that has huge implications for us as individuals, for us as Christians, for us as a congregation, for us as families. How do we show that to the world around us? How do we demonstrate God's love in the way we interact with others? And there's a huge topic in our society at the moment in relation to the life of the unborn and also to how we treat people who have a different sexual orientation than ourselves. And it's a struggle that our church is going through at the moment, and there are many people gathered here this morning, and you will all have your different views and opinions on those two subjects. But we must remember that every human being is made in the image of God and has value and is loved, and how we can communicate that love to them. At the minute in Stormont, we are debating the abortion legislation. We have heard, I've quoted from Psalm 139, how the Lord has knit us together in our mother's womb. We have a responsibility for the unborn. We have a responsibility to give everyone a right to life, even an unborn child that carries a disability, like Down syndrome, or spina bifida, or facial deformity, or learning difficulties. Maybe even in the future, or maybe even currently now, decided whether the child has life or death, dependent on whether it's male or female. Those are the decisions that are being taken at the top of the hill, at least I hope. that we will have legislation that reflects the values that our society places on life. And I trust and pray that the Christian voice will be heard in the midst of that, that we won't end up having legislation which allows people to terminate human life simply because it's unwanted or unplanned. There are complexities, and I know that there are, and I know that there are struggles for those who have to raise children with disabilities, and I know the trauma that occurs when a child in infancy dies because of an illness that it carried from before it was born, and the impact that has on both the mother and the father. There's no easy or straightforward way in this. But we must value both mother and father and unborn life. And we must value individuals who choose to live a life that's contrary to the way that we would want them to live. The father continued to love the prodigal son even when he left his father's home. And he was willing and welcoming to embrace him and welcome him back into the fold when he returned. And so we must be people and a church that creates such a welcoming place for people to be. Because we're all learning what it means to be made in God's image and what it means to show the love of God to other people. So I hope that in this week that lies ahead, that you will reflect upon some of the themes in this sermon. Some of you may agree with everything that I have said. Some of you may have struggles with what I have said. But what we are called to do is to work together with one another as we seek to grapple in this fallen world, but to do it remembering that God created a good world and he wants us to care for it and to look after it and all the people who live upon it. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your goodness in the gift of life. We thank you for this world that we live in and the beauty that surrounds us. We thank you, Lord, that we are made in your image, and forgive us, Lord, for the ways in which we choose to distort that image to the world. And so first of all, O Lord, we ask that you would call us into a more exact representation of your image given in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may live a life that is perfect, that is in obedience with your word, but that it is a life which shows love and compassion and care and forgiveness and welcome to those who are different than you. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would challenge us in this week that lies ahead to be your light in this world, and to show forth your glory until you return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Out of your glorious richness, O God, you gave us your Son to be our Saviour. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would receive these offerings from our richness, and that you would use them to proclaim his goodness and his love in this world today. Amen. We finish our service on creation by singing that great hymn, O Lord my God, how great thou art. It's hymn number 187. now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.